Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And based on the group of amazingly awesome yet slightly disturbing people that I'm with today, it means it must be Friday. And that's it. It really is the Mac Show.
Cecil on the stream.
Yeah, I remember to set that. And I notice on the actual stream, we have the right logo. We're doing so well, we should just hop right to the end.
Yes.
And and call it good.
Yeah.
What the hell Stop is it this professionalism?
Right.
But did you just say the word disturbing or disturbed?
Both.
Both.
Well, that I didn't ask that question. I asked what he said. I said, yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. well, sorry about my voice. Ben, I'm sure you can relate to this. Need to stop licking cats. Oh, the herbals.
Yeah, he's Jeff Mann.
Yeah. I am Jeff Mann.
See,
I deserve everyone in this city.
Now you can just end anything with because I'm Jeff Mann.
Why?
That's right.
Because I'm Jeff Mann.
I'm Jeff.
He's the hero we deserve.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Really?
See, we should have stopped already.
Yes.
Yet here we are. Well, in a feeble attempt to redeem the show. Patrice, how are you?
I'm good. I'm long week, tons of work, tons of stuff to do. I'm so happy it's Friday. And I'm getting ready for a nice weekend of Christmas markets and putting up the rest of my Christmas decoration. I did start, as you can see in the background, but then I kind of, didn't have a lot of time. This was like 30 seconds. Then getting ready for a business trip next week again to Lisbon. Looking forward to that.
Nice.
Oh, I got new nails.
I have a...
all of them.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a couple friends who were in Lisbon this week.
Mm-hmm.
And
Victoria was writing.
They had a wonderful time. It was their
That's
first time
good.
In Lisbon.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Absolutely loved it.
It's a great city.
I need to visit Lisbon.
You do. But first, you need to visit Vienna.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. I agree.
Or we just all need to go over to Jerry's house in Hawaii.
Yeah, there's an idea.
See, my list of friends to visit that requires flights over large bodies of water keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with this. What's a good segue? Speaking of large bodies of water, I don't know. I panicked. Chuck, how are you?
What?
I panicked.
Okay. Oh, I'm getting
or wait. Chuck, here's a better one. Speaking of Christmas markets, Chuck, how are you?
That's worse.
Oh, actually, Chuck with a Christmas hat, I could totally see. That would work really well.
And a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a little boot mug with mulled wine.
Oh, yeah. One of these here, you mean?
Hey, I'm not the only one with props.
That's true.
Actually, I have two Christmas mugs today. This one is also one from Vienna. Different place.
The way you were holding it, it made the symbol look like it was the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah, no, it's just one of the churches in Vienna. So, yes.
Nice. Anyhow, Chuck, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. After all that. If I sound a little questionable, it's because I'm still getting over a cold that I got traveling. But I did not go to a Christmas market, but I did acquire this cold. So, but other than that, it's been just the usual kind of craziness.
You know, you always sound questionable, but that's not your voice.
Patrice, well, I'm so glad you went there because, well, I was about to, but this way, you know, we kind of mix it up and keep it fresh.
Yeah, I asked for that. I really did.
You did.
Yeah. No,
we love you, Chuck. We love you.
This is the first time, though, that this, I think this group has been together now for a little while, and it really shows because we're all just a little giddy for some reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chuck, that's every show.
Well, but this is extra giddy.
This is extra.
Patrice is waving around mugs, and Jeff was ready to take his shirt off pre-show, and, you know, so it's just.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dave is Judge Dredd.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of the man who is the law.
Yes.
Dave, how are you?
Yes.
I am.
Dave, Judge Dredd Ginsburg.
I'm doing great. Missed you on In Touch with iOS yesterday. I'm glad to be here today. It's Friday and I took the day off.
Nice. So
it'll be better.
That's awesome. Dave, you're practically European with the number of days you get off.
You might be beyond European at this point.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is you're my hero.
I haven't been really going on much many vacations, so I kind of have the banked up days. So.
Yeah, makes sense. Time for a Hawaii vacation.
Yes.
We'll visit that. Right?
Yes. Exactly. Will this take over Doc and Jerry's houses?
You might get a shoebox somewhere in the corner.
Worth
I've
it.
Been to their places, so.
Worth it. Yeah. Also worth it. Ben, how are you?
Totally.
I am fantastic. Ready to talk some Max and some picks.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
And maybe Apple stuff that isn't Max in between.
You know, we could go anywhere, and we have plenty of recordings to back that up.
That's true.
Yeah. Maybe
last week, like me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose then it is time to start talking some about Apple news. And Patrice, I thought we should start with the story that you brought yesterday, that we would think about it today. And so this is about App Store Connect?
Yeah, exactly. So there is a brand spanking new version of App Store Connect out as of this week. Little surprise, not announced anywhere, not expected, not rumored, nothing. Also, probably not the most exciting thing for most people. I mean, if you're a developer, you might enjoy that. For the people who don't know what App Store Connect even is, it is the, let's say, let's call it the admin portal for everything app related. So this is where you publish your apps, your test builds, where you add test users, where you do your financials, your in-app purchases, literally everything related to the Apple App Store goes through that portal. And as of this week, there is a new version out, a new refreshed UI, and a couple new capabilities. There is not now possible to generate marketing assets for app launches, for example, or for version updates. So you can do special marketing promotion material for the store to show it and say, hey, new version out, whatever. Featured placements sometimes you could get through that. It's you can even generate them for special moments and share them on social media. So that's pretty cool. They're pretty generic. So it's probably, it's for the developers that can't do that themselves or don't want to. People like me, basically. I could probably do it, but I don't want to. Also, I don't have any apps right now. From what I've heard, and I can't even log in, I'm just trying right now. It's not even working. It's pretty slow. So it's not a great launch. like password autofill didn't work properly, stuff like that. So a bit typical, like as it is typical for this type of portal, actually, I would say, because Apple doesn't have the best track record for these kind of apps. There's also Podcasts Connect, for example, a similar system. I think it's probably built on the same code base. So that some people might be aware of. There's a couple others, I think, similar. Yeah, but that's it. You can nominate to be featured. That's now baked in. So you can say, I want my app to be featured, and submit some information. And then, for example, for a new app launch or something, you can say, hey, we have a new really cool version and we would like to be featured, and submit that in app, basically, in App Store Connect, and then it might happen or not. So I think it helps Apple a little bit find even out that someone is doing something new. Like, so far, it's been a lot of, people know people thing, or Someone reads an article somewhere else that there's a new version from Apple, and then it's like, oh, we should probably feature them. At least that's my guess how that happened. I don't even know. It's not very transparent.
That seems as reasonable a way as any that I've heard for how they're doing it.
Yeah. So this gives, I think, also smaller, more independent, like maybe also new apps a chance to throw their hat in the ring and say, hey. I don't know how they triage that, because I'm pretty sure they get flooded with, maybe that's why it's down, they get flooded with suggestions like, oh, take my app. Like, it's a new version. I changed the letter on the page. It's a new version.
Yeah.
Yep.
I could imagine that.
It also includes Apple's most important feature for developers, which is having your app rejected for no good reason.
Yes.
And then having to figure out on your own why it was rejected and how to fix it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's called gamification.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Yeah. So, yes, as I said, for most people, probably not super interesting. There's also, by the way, there's apps. I mean, you know, probably people don't know that and think it's just a website. No, there's like a Mac app and like iOS apps and so on. Not a Vision Pro app, because, of course, Apple didn't do that. They can't even provide apps for their own stuff for Vision Pro. Yes, I'm salty about that. I'm like, why? Like, why is Maps on the iPad app? Like, does that make sense? No.
No.
Yeah. Nope. Anyway, yeah. So App Store Connect 2.0, once it works, maybe I'll get a chance to check it out. I really don't need it much, but it's good to know. We need it at work, So I'm just not personally.
Well, and hopefully they sort out the problems with the mobile app.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah. All right. Well, next story, and just so everyone knows, the rest of the stories we have today, unless someone comes up with something where they're like, oh, we need to talk about this. Everything else, we are cribbing right from Dave's show notes from In Touch with iOS. So, Dave, I'm so choked up because of your generosity.
Anytime. Love, I'm always glad to share.
But seriously, thank you. And holy crap, seriously, what is up with my voice today? Man.
Maybe you partied too hard last night with me.
It was all that clinging last night, Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, clearly that's it. Maybe it's the universe punishing me because I wasn't able to join on In Touch with iOS last night.
Could also be.
Yeah. This is the price I pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you must do two episodes to
That seems fair. Yep. Yep.
I'll edit you in.
Oh, perfect. Just take clips from Mac Voices Live and drop them in.
You missed that too.
Oh, crap. I literally missed that too. Why did I miss? Oh, it's because I was doing a user group. That's right.
Yeah.
Man, I've been a slacker this week.
You have.
No, wow. You've not. We recorded an episode of Retro Rewatch yesterday, so.
That's true, and I did a meetup, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you closed down that bar doing karaoke last night. So
yes,
exactly. Yes, you did.
Well, technically, it was the police that closed down the bar. but it's probably my fault that they had to show up.
Yeah. Did they send a message in a bottle?
Oh, Ben, I'm gonna make you wait in the car again.
The show title.
Anyway, I'm gonna make you wait in the car. Anyway. That's the show title.
Jeff, you do know that you have the power to mute Ben when he does that, right?
I do. And yeah. Yet here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next story. I believe this ultimately will cost you, Dave, and Chuck and Patrice money. Which Chuck means you're gonna have to spend some more money right away so you can catch up and be in the proper spending level moving forward. So go ahead and buy a Vision Pro now. But
yes.
Here's the deal. Mark Gurman is reporting for Bloomberg that the second gen version of Vision Pro should go on sale somewhere between fall 2025 and spring 2026. And this will get an upgraded processor from an M2 to the as yet unreleased M5.
Yeah. You should say, Captain Obvious is reporting once again. Because one, he's already reported that, and two, it's very obvious.
And yes, here's the thing. It gives the slightest... Wait, no, it doesn't.
No, actually. It doesn't.
Ming-Chi Ko's still wrong about everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, German ran with it, so...
Yeah, no, but it's how is that news?
Yeah, well, it's a slow week for the Power On newsletter.
Okay, yeah. I got it. Okay, got it.
Yeah,
got that.
It's got deadlines, man.
Yeah, all right, fine. I'm okay with that. No, it's obvious, right? I mean, we've talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I mean, obvious in a sense of that's the usual pattern. Doesn't mean it's actually going to happen that way, right? But
yeah,
that's the usual pattern. I mean, we said so. I think I said so. I'm like, yeah, probably. Announcement could be early 2026 and shipping somewhere then, or we even announce it in like fall 25 and ship it in 26, but I think for sure shipping 26.
All right, here's how Ming-Chi Ko fits into this one, because he had said that Apple was focusing on making a lower cost version of Vision Pro.
You mean he said that week, because the week before he said the opposite. So.
Right. And and then he combined them for the following week, where he said, actually, they're delaying the cheaper one to work on a second generation, more expensive one. And
which is also BS.
How could you get something right and still be wrong?
It's called... Away. It's, I think it's called Rumor Mill and
yeah,
like analysts, I think that's what they're called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We cannot pronounce it the way we want to on this show.
No. You know,
I suppose we can't.
Apple is big enough that two things can be true at the same time. They can work on a next version of the Vision Pro, and they can work on the next version of the non-Pro Vision Pro, whatever it's going to be called, and probably five other things that we haven't even heard of.
Yeah,
of course.
Right? So, no, yeah. Just when they said, oh, the next one, Apple is stopping and working on the cheap version, stopping the Vision Pro and working on the cheap version, I said, BS.
No way. That's not Apple way. Style.
It's not how things work. And like basically, oh, it's a flop and that's why they're switching. I'm like, no, BS. They've been working on the second version for probably a year, year and a half, at least already. Yeah. And they're at the same time
with
working.
The current bottle.
Exactly. And they're probably already working on different versions, whatever that is. What I mean, we assume it's cheaper, but it could also be more expensive. Who knows?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And no, they're continuing to explore because you have to know that this is version 1.0. And as amazing as it is, they're still working through what the device can actually do. As we talked about too with the new video that's out with the submersive the spatial video that came out with the weekend and the other videos they're trying, the content's got to build up, and that's where this is going to make a game. This is making this device a game changer.
Yeah.
App developers got to get on board too. Yeah. Those are the things right there. Just what I mentioned, you know, the content and apps need to.
And that's why you need the device out there because people buying it, because that's the way how to incentivize that. No, think about the Macintosh. There was one.
Yeah.
Then now think about how many we have today. Same deal. Yeah. Like it starts with one, and then Apple will figure. Even the iPad started with one. The iPhone started with one. Apple Watch started with technically two, but one.
Well, even with the Mac, you know, with the Mac Mini, that innovation is just they continue to innovate with products, and that this is no different. And it just like I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but even the rumor about the home camera and the updates with the home kit stuff that's another one that
is on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I knew it would be because we missed you yesterday talking about it.
Yeah. No,
we're going to talk about it today.
Apple builds the first one, figures out the market, figures out the technology, and then expands it and figures out where are the customer segments. And there will probably be one that's less expensive. There might be one that's more expensive. I mean, just like there is a MacBook Air and there's a Mac Pro.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing with the, well, whether you call it the rumor mill, R&D, whatever, we're not to the point where Apple has to make decisions on production. Up until that point,
very close to that, I think.
Yeah.
For the next.
But version. Yeah, but I mean, Apple still has time to change its mind on what it wants to put out, what version it wants to put out, and there's probably going to be multiple versions under development. Basically, depending on if certain technologies are able to go affordably to production.
Yeah, we've heard that in the past where Apple sometimes worked on two competing kind of variants of this, of the, whatever the next iPhone would be. And then at some point they had to say, okay, this one is panning out and that one isn't. Or the one that we actually wanted with like really crazy new technology is just not ready. So let's go with the safer route that we prepared in parallel and then see where we go from here.
Mm-hmm. Another comparison is look at the iPhone SE. How long they've delayed that again, going back to maybe the low end Vision Pro or Vision, excuse me, whatever it's going to be called. They have not evolved that SE for two or three years now, and still not going to be out until next year at this point.
And how long did it take them?
That's the low end market.
Yeah, how long did it even take them to even introduce an SE?
Exactly. The first gen SE, it took them forever.
So, at the end of the day,
Chuck, you're muted.
Predictions like that are not really very useful.
The thing that drives me crazy about these kind of discussions and this kind of reporting is that they seem to act like, okay, we finished the Vision Pro, this version, let's go out for pizza and go to Tahiti for a week. And it's like, no.
Which
I mean,
they probably did.
Maybe. But, the evolution is constant. The additions are constant. We try this and, you know, maybe at some point we see, this could branch off into a separate product that would make sense, you know, and sometimes they look at it and say, okay, we need to branch this product into two because we have this audience that we want to serve or this need over here.
Yeah.
But it's a constant process. And so when we have these just absolute declarations and these artificial walls that seem to keep popping up from certain analysts And I guess that's as good a word as any. You know, it's just like
that's
really
the safe word.
Very yeah,
safe. It's not. Yeah. It's not our safe word. But it's a
yes,
safe
it, yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
A safe
thanks.
Word.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I look at these things and I come back to this so often in these conversations. It'll be out when it's out, and yeah. then we'll evaluate it. You know, yes. otherwise, this is all just
chatter.
Well, that I was thinking of something a little less polite, Dave. But yeah, that's a good chatter.
Yeah. Yeah, Chuck, if you notice, I just kept my mouth shut because I was really, really invested in hearing yeah. what filtered word you were going to come up with.
Yeah. So all of that,
which might
all
be,
of that, be, sorry.
Which actually might be the most interesting point of this story.
Yeah, but all of that being said, I'm very, very bullish and very, very excited about the next version because I see some limitations in it, which is totally normal and expected. There were any first device, there were limitations. I see some limitations in the current Vision Pro, which I'm very excited. I'm pretty sure will be addressed. I mean, even if it's just because this is an M4 or 5, who cares even, versus an M2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and software is going to evolve until then, and Apple will probably have little things that they couldn't make in the first version that they figured out since then and all of that. So I'm very, very excited, and I'm very happy to see a Vision Pro 2. And I mean, don't want to predict the future, but I'll probably buy it.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm very excited to see what comes with Vision Pro 2. And I expect that based on the way Apple has been able to develop and build their other products, mm-hmm. Their other Apple Silicon products.
Other Apple products. Look at any Apple product. And with some rare exceptions like the HomePod that didn't go anywhere for a long time, the hardware revisions in the beginning especially were pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like we need to also take a look at the Apple Watch and think about that. That yeah. the Apple Watch was, it came out with as a watch and it had some nice little functionality to it, but it also sort of found its market or found mm-hmm. some of its markets, I should say, you know, not just as a health device, but as a safety device, mm-hmm. as an information device, et cetera, et cetera. You know, sometimes you just got to put it out there and let people do with it what they want,
yep.
and then let that inform some of your decisions yep. going forward. Yep. And Apple has been masterful at that when mm-hmm. it comes to the watch, the phone,
the
even
iPad.
The iPad. Yeah, the iPad's a great example, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all this prognostication is,
I mean,
it just is a waste of time.
Apple is doomed, you know. I'm like. I mean, I'll tell you, when I bought it, I mean, I spent a lot of money on it. And I wasn't 100% sure what I would use it for.
You
there
both.
Were like one or two things. Yeah, same. It's like, there were one or two things where I'm like, okay, I'll probably, like watching videos or whatever, I'm like, yeah, I'll probably do that because it's kind of the obvious thing. Mm-hmm. I spent almost every day, and I say almost because sometimes I'm just fall asleep before, but I spend at least an hour and a half on the Vision Pro every day. Often more. When I travel, I take my Vision Pro as the first thing I take with me. The other devices, I'm like, okay, what do I really need? The Vision Pro is not even a thought. Like, for me, it is one of my main devices now. I would do this show yes. with the Vision Pro. I'm working on that, actually. Like, for me, it is actually pretty crazy. Crazy
virtual
good.
Magnet, desktop, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that alone is, like, I'm like, literally, when I'm not here on this desk, I work with the Vision Pro. Connect my Mac to it and work from there. Always.
Yep.
Patrice,
I'm trying to get to that. Do it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dave. I was talking over you.
No, I'm just going to say I'm trying to do that as well, especially with the expanded widescreen virtual display. It's incredible. And now I have multiple Macs here with my Mac Mini and my MacBook Pro in one screen. I mean, I have it, the screen can switch, but hey, maybe I can put that on the screen.
Yeah,
on my Vision Pro and not even have a screen connected to it at all.
Yeah,
and it works great.
People figured out that the new Mac Mini actually fits into the travel case of the Vision Pro, so they can literally take an entire computer, like screen and everything, with them. They figured out how to do that. Okay, it's a little bit insane. Cool. It's a little bit insane how that works. And Apple, I think, has some work to do to make that better. But I'm like, wow, like it fits.
There's
right
gotta
in
be
there.
People coming up with cases. I mean, this thing fits. It's so small. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But is that an accident, or do you think that could have been possibly in the works when the Apple Vision Pro came out and the Marshmallow was designed, and it's like, you know, this would fit in here nice. We just have to get it released.
I don't think Apple's gonna have a case, though. I think it's gonna be third party.
Potato. It works.
Yeah. You know, I rather like what Jason Snell called Belkin during upgrade this week. The guys who make the Apple makes the stuff they don't want to put their name on.
There's some truth to that, yes.
Some of the Melka stuff is questionable, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, you were lamenting prognostication. So let's just continue down that path and see if we can trigger you.
Okay.
Don't say teams.
don't say that.
Yeah, that's right. Apple has agreed to partner with Microsoft for Teams.
Okay, maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, okay, no. For those of you that are listening and not watching,
Chuck just
turned off his camera and his mic and presumably walked away, said some very choice things about me.
He's like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Oh. Wow.
Which is fair. Yeah. All right, so Chuck, here's the new trigger story. We don't have any confirmation from Apple at all, but once again, Mr. I know everything about Apple, wink, Mark Gurman, he's wink, saying wink. That excuse me, apparently sometimes I entertain myself. he's saying that Apple is looking into making HomeKit compatible smart home accessories, and one of the devices they're looking at making is a camera. And so anyhow, and then this would all tie in to the new command center thing that Apple is supposedly working on as well, which sounds basically like an iPad where the primary app is the home app. And there you go. So how's that for more speculation, prognostication for you, Chuck?
I've read all the things about the panels, first of all, and the first thing that came to mind was that it might be a better version of the wall panels on the Enterprise from the original series.
Okay.
But and you know, look, I don't see either one of those as outside the realm of possibility. In some ways, it would make sense with all the camera technology that Apple has developed. You know, kind of why wouldn't they? In fact, in some ways, it may have been a little surprising they haven't done something like that already. For video conferencing purposes, I mean, in theory, let's see, what do we have? The Mini is probably the only thing I can think of that doesn't have a camera built in, because the iPads do.
Right.
The Apple Watch doesn't.
The Apple Watch doesn't now, but the iMac does. Mm-hmm. Your MacBook Pros do. So, you know, it wouldn't be a real big stretch to say let's take one of some camera technology offboarded for all those Mini owners, you know, I mean, that means a day will buy two right there because we've got two minis.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I do think that the market for the home for for smart automation is still. I just had a conversation with somebody this week, and now I can't remember where it was, that it's still a mess. I mean, Matter was supposed to solve things, and it hasn't. And so, you know, could Apple step into the breach? And I mean, that, I don't know, that's a dangerous place to play because of all the third party investments that people already have. But on the other hand, it's one of those things that you feel like if Apple did it, it would do it right. And it would bring everything to heel under one system, or at least until the EU sues them and says, you know, you're not allowed to do that. So,
well, if Apple released their smart home accessories as Matter compatible,
they already have.
Then,
so we already have today, in air quotes, smart home accessories that are Matter compatible. Mm-hmm. Because they have HomePods and they have Apple TVs.
Oh, right.
And those are Matter bridges.
Yeah.
So they have already done that. Could they expand it? I mean, see, my problem with this article is, and I think the original source, it just says Apple is exploring the idea. And I'm like, heck yes, they're exploring everything from here mm-hmm. to yeah. Sunday. Yes. Are they checking it, especially since they're doing Apple Home and Matter now and all of that? Are they checking? Are they investigating? Are they thinking about it? Yeah, 100%. Do they have some ideas where they could maybe potentially do something? Yes, absolutely. Will they?
Well,
I have my doubts.
All right. Well, to build on what you're saying, Ming-Chi Ko. yeah.
Often Anyhow, wrong, Ming-Chi Ko.
Yeah, well, I swear to God, we are not running a drinking game.
And we're trying to get to a drunk. Rumor show.
We're already drunk.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, my liver is so angry. But Ming-Chi Ko, he's the analyst that says that Apple is going to be doing this, and the camera is one of the things that they're working on. So it'd be something you could use as a baby monitor or as just like a webcam in your house, and. So then Mark Gurman, when he gets in on this, what he says is, well, not so fast. What Apple's doing is exploring what they could do to follow up if their smart panel thing that is still rumored is successful. Yeah. And so that could include other smart home accessories.
Yeah. You know what I want? A webcam. Apple has a history of building really, really great webcams.
Yeah.
The cameras in their devices are okay, but I think they're only supposed to... They've gotten better, but I think, I mean, they're supposed to be kind of a good default, right? For people that just need something. Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. okay. And they're totally fine for that. I mean, actually, no, that's not true. On the iPhone, the camera is really good. But like, I mean the webcam kind of equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
I want them. That would be really interesting to do. Like, build a camera again, like the old EyeSight camera.
I loved the EyeSight.
You just took it right out of my mind. I was thinking about the EyeSight camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Whatever, 8K,
I hope
6K,
I still have
whatever they're doing.
Stashed away. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
But where, again, I go back to the fact that the Mini has become this massive hit all of a sudden, and people with Minis need to get a camera.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it would seem like not exactly a hole in the product line because there are plenty of great web cameras out. Well, there's some great web cameras out there, but... You know, why wouldn't you do this? And maybe have it double as a home security camera too, if it's detached.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. why wouldn't you do this? The answer is very simple. Is there something that Apple can add and do on the market that nobody else can? And honestly, other than putting an Apple logo on it, I'm not, I mean, not saying no, but I'm not seeing it.
There is one thing that Apple can do that no other company can do. Make that webcam double as a webcam for an Apple TV.
Which, yeah, now every camera can do. All you have to do is implement what's called continuity camera. Works already.
Okay, so Patrice, I'll challenge you on that. Because the idea to me, and I recently bought another home security camera. Mm. And wouldn't it be great if, at least for the location, if my Apple device was, or my new Magic Apple camera was sitting here, mm-hmm. and it could become, when the app, when the device is off or whatever, that it could interface with the Apple ecosystem in some way, that it could become my another home security camera. So it would serve, because right now I've had to buy a webcam and I've had to buy another camera.
It could
and be. The integration thing isn't mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and boy, I'll tell you another thing that I would love to have. And if anybody out there has seen one that works, let me know. But I would love to have like the security panel display with all my web cameras on one screen.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to make that. And it's like, what's wrong with you people? This is I know there's some out there, but they're fiddly at best.
Yeah. And see, that is
commercial products.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Ubiquiti has quite a good solution for that. But I mean, sure, that's the point. Apple doesn't just do something for the sake of doing it. Because, well, I mean, it would be super easy for them to build like a webcam. They have all the parts already. They're producing or having produced all the parts already because they put them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the problem. It's more what can they add to the market that gives them an edge instead, not just put an Apple logo on it. But yeah, you mentioned a couple. Is that enough for Apple? Who knows?
Yeah. Which one did you say has a decent solution?
Ubiquiti. They're doing more commercial like video surveillance and so on. And they for sure have good solutions for that.
Yeah.
Does Synology have
I think they do, yes. Yeah. They have the, what is it called? Video station or something.
Surveillance station?
Yeah, surveillance station. Thank you, Chuck. Yes.
I think so, but I haven't researched this, and I've got Synology devices, so you know, and they're great. What I don't know is, you know, how easily they integrate with other parties' solutions, and that's the challenge. Well, that's my experience, Patrice, so far. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, to be fair, Apple's solutions also sometimes don't interface well with others. So.
No, that's true, but they have, you know, they have a better choice. They have a better chance, I think.
Well, they also get more scrutiny for if they don't. So.
Yeah. Well. Good point.
Yep. Well, okay. So, moving on with the whole "hey, let's speculate" things. Mm. Turns out there's one thing that is not speculation, and that's that TSO host is helping us be here for you every week.
Yes.
And what they're doing is taking their resources. They do web hosting and domain name purchase. Services, they're taking their tools and saying, here you go, everyone here at BTN, use these so that you can do your stuff. So what that means is that they're giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream multiple shows every single week. They're giving us the hosting space for our website so you can see what's coming up or go and find the logs of the live chats, and they're giving us the server space we need so that there's a place for all the show files to live so you can watch or listen to any of your favorite episodes anytime you want. And it does take a lot of resources to make all of this happen. So we really appreciate that TSO Host is being so generous and giving us those things so we can be here for you. So with that, hey, thank you, TSO hosts. And if all of you could go online and give TSO host a shout out on your favorite social media, just let them know that you appreciate that they're here supporting the British Tech Network. That would be awesome. So thank you again, TSO hosts. And I mentioned the live chat, and that live chat is super awesome. And Patrice, you're responsible for that. So thank you for everything you did to make that happen. Can you tell people a little bit about that, please?
Of course. So we have a really cool live stream system that if you are listening to this right now live, then I don't have to explain it to you. But if you are, if you want to do that, it's quite easy to use. So all you do is, you know, when we record this show, we stream it live. And you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show. And by the way, big show. Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time. This is where we talk about the non-Apple side of things. So it's usually no Apple allowed, but there's tons of other interesting technology stories out there, whether it's about AI or about gaming, chip design, space, cars, like you name it. There's like a million, billion, gazillion other topics out there that are also interesting and that aren't necessarily Apple related. And that's the big show where we talk about that. And then you head over, as I said, live.britishtechnetwork.com, and you can watch us live. And on the right-hand side is a chat, and that's how easy it is. Literally, there's a bar, there's a box where you write your text, and then you hit send, and that's it. And if you want to change your name, there's a little purple thing up top where you can do that. That is literally how easy it is. But let's say you are, like, you can't join the live stream, you don't want to, you just prefer to listen to it in your podcast play of choice. No hard feelings. No, like, we get it. We've listened to tons of podcasts as well, recorded forms. Like, I can, for example, barely ever watch Mac Voices Live or join even Mac Voices Live. Same thing for Dave's show, In Touch with iOS. But so I always listen to them in my podcast player. And then I also might look at the show notes. And the same thing we have. We have a live transcript of our chat on britishtechnetwork.com/chat. If you go there, it's a little calendar, asks you for a date, you click on it, and it shows you the transcript for the day. And if you put in today's date, which would be November 15th, 2024, you will see what we talked about in the chat today. So that's how easy it is. I highly recommend Thursdays or Fridays, because the other days there's probably nothing and there's no link. So just saying.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. And now it's time for cool things. And Dave, you already have the first cool thing in the live chat, so
I do.
Tell us.
I thought this was kind of a cool thing. It's made by Skosh, believe it or not. It's a magic flask. It's 22 ounces of water it holds in this flask here, but it also has a MagSafe adapter here at the top, so my iPhone actually works on here. It goes up and down, and you can set it in your car cup holder in your car. You can take it to the gym, and it's actually a pretty neat little thing here. Even has a silicon cover at the bottom here that you can just pull right off. And actually, if you wanted to use this, you could put water in here for your dog or cat. So that's kind of cool. Pivots down really easily. Everything moves up really cool. And then it's got the little straw here that lets you be able to drink your water as well. So that's kind of cool. Even you can actually attach this to like a magnetic, like you're at the gym. So you don't have to put a lot of people put their bottle down. You know, it can magnetically attach while you're doing your workout. So it's not terribly expensive, $39.99. And kind of a nice cross of innovation. Screws off pretty easily. There's the flask there. And it's a pretty kind of cool innovation to kind of cross, like the flasks are so popular now with Yetis and other products. And having this for your iPhone, I thought it's pretty cool.
And it's insulated.
And it's insulated, and yeah, it does. Nice. It does keep it for almost. It's I said close to. What was it? Up to 12 hours warm and 24 hours cold. So double wall insulated. Yes.
Is that Canadian weather? Canadian summer. 12 yeah. hours warm and then 24 hours cold.
Yeah. I don't know. Very possible.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of a fun idea.
That's awesome. I'm already considering, do I need to buy one?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so.
You want it.
Do I have better self-control than Chuck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
All right. Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. This one might actually be ending up poking me in the butt because I expected someone else to pick my alternate here, but okay. I have a new mouse. If I can,
you have a disco mouse. It looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. I went with the SteelSeries Aerix 3 wireless lightweight mouse. This is one of those new lightweight gaming mouses with all sorts of holes in them, so it's super light, but it doesn't feel cheap. Right now, for the pre-Black Friday festivities, it's normally a $100 mouse. It's on sale for $60.
Oh,
wow.
It has full customization, both in mouse control and RGB on macOS. It is both Bluetooth for when you're on the go, and they have their own proprietary 2.4 gigahertz technology for low latency gaming.
Very cool.
So far I am super happy. It allows me to both get my office work done and then pwn all the noobs and do it in style.
So I'm looking at delivery times for this. This must be super popular.
1 to 2 months?
Yeah.
Well, it also comes in white, which is actually normal now. Yeah.
Oh,
it's $10. Yep. Yeah, it's $10 more expensive, but.
But you can get it tomorrow.
Yep. But it's not the productivity mouse that my Logitech is, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the Max. It's super.
It's super fun.
All right, that's cool. All right, so then now, Patrice.
Yeah. So there's
your turn.
There's I don't know, 3, 5, 10,000 different things happening this week in like Apple on Apple side on the content side. Like we get a Silo, we got a new. Actually a very cool spatial video, like music video from The Weeknd, which is awesome. Highly recommend it if you have a Vision Pro. But my cool thing today is Shrinking Season 2, because I've been waiting a little bit to watch a couple episodes before I pick it as a cool thing. I didn't want to pick it without watching it, even though I knew it would be perfect. And I love it. I mean, it's Shrinking is great. Like all the people. I mean, Jason Segel, Jessica Williams. There's like a whole thing. Harrison Ford, of course. I mean, yeah. Harrison freaking Ford. Like what else? Like there's a little. I mean, Krista Miller. I love her always. Lukita Maxwell as the daughter. There's a little surprise person guest star that's in there. Let's see if you can tell who it is. I'm not gonna tell you, but yes, there's a person that you might not expect there, and you see.
Awesome too.
Yeah, really awesome. I have not watched this week's episode. I've been too busy for that, but I'll probably do that tonight after Silo. So I'll watch Silo first, and then I'll watch this because I'm very excited about that too. Yeah. So season 2 of Shrinking now on Apple TV Plus. I think six episodes are out or something like that.
Yeah. Seven.
No, 7, I think, is coming next week. 6 should be out. Yeah, it says next week. Wednesdays. It's always Wednesdays. So, yeah, I recommend it. It's not long. It's like 35, 34 minutes usually. So
great show.
Great show.
Who was the husband? He was on the Love Boat, wasn't he? I forgot his name.
Yes.
Liz's husband.
Yes, I'm blanking now on
his name. What is his name?
Tech McGinley, I found it. Ted McGinley,
yes. Never him on the Love Boat.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they're really great cast. I mean, Luke Tenney as Sean, like, it's just all over. Like, everybody is, like, really awesome and just fun show. A lot of good topics as well, like that heck.
I need to start watching Shrinking.
You do.
I
mean, it's like produced by Bill Lawrence. Produced, written, created by Bill Lawrence. Like, what else can I say? And Brett Goldstein, by the way. Goldstein. Those two together.
Yeah, and Brett Goldstein is fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. So, that I mean, it's like Bill Lawrence, Harrison Ford, Brett Goldstein. Like, anything they do, I'm like, I don't even need to know what it is. Like, just sign me up. Mm-hmm. They could be selling and reading phone books, and I would be like, yep, sure, make sense. Let's do that.
Which now could be done in a short YouTube video.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess it could. Yeah. Mm. All right, sign me up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start watching Shrinking. And it's not like I've been avoiding it. It's just there's so much good content out there.
Yes.
There is. Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm interested in how much money Chuck wants it to spend. What the?
Chuck, tell us.
What?
Tell us about your cool thing, you dirty, dirty man.
Okay, so this this is not my cool thing, but this is something that I'm being forced into that I don't have a choice. I'm having a new washer delivered on Monday because mine finally gave up the ghost. Mm. And so if you're in the market, I have to tell you, this seemed to get pretty good reviews, and I was impressed by the features, so I'll let you know. But this is an LG 4.5 cubic foot ultra large capacity top load washer with turbo drum technology.
Yeah.
And that's what sold me. It's like anything that says it has turbo drum technology. I'm in. So I'll let you know.
Oh my God. Yeah, you had me at turbo drum technology.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So
I mean, LG, great brand. I love their washers. Yeah. I don't get the top loader thing still. I know it's an American thing. I still don't get it, but
I got front loaders.
Yep.
Nope. And everyone, thank you for joining the Domestic Appliances Show.
Yes.
So I've had mine 15 years. So that's LG.
Oh, yes. That's good.
They're really good. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I found out the washer that I have came with the house that I bought, and it was purchased in 2005. And so it's gotten a pretty good run 20 out.
20 years
it.
Almost. And it, yeah. Good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. So we'll see how this goes. Mm-hmm. My real pick to stay on topic. That's not my real pick. Apple is not doing the magic camera that we talked about earlier. This is the Insta360 Link 2. This is the new version. I went ahead and got it.
I was just looking at it before you did this pick. How funny.
Really? I love this. It has a bigger sensor, so the lower light, the light control is a lot better. I'm still playing with all the features of it, but I'm really liking the tracking seems to be a little bit smoother. And I actually try to avoid having that on because I feel like even, with some cameras and with the older one, I did that a little bit and the image would shake for you. And so now this one seems to be a little bit more forgiving and actually, again, is just overall smoother. I really, really like the new mount because it's magnetic if the top of your monitor or your computer will allow it. But if not, you still have the little thing that drops down and back and allows you to place it. It's just great. There are two models of this. I bought the one that, can sit on top of the monitor as opposed to the lower profile one that is more designed for MacBooks or MacBook Pros. One of the big things, though, that for me about having a webcam like this is that I want to know that when I turn it off, that it's off.
Yes.
And the cool thing about this is with the way it mounts, once it powers down, it goes and points straight down, physically points straight down.
Yeah. Mm.
So it can't be looking out into the room anywhere that I don't, and I, you know, don't know that it's on. So that's a really, really big thing. So I got to tell you, I think this is a great, it is a great webcam. I'm using it right now. And so you get an idea of how good it looks. And the Insta stuff, I mean, the Insta stuff is just killing it right now. They're doing such an amazing job with so many of their pieces.
Yeah.
So if you invest in this, you will not be disappointed, I promise.
Yeah, man, I'm you hooked me on the link. I got the link. That's my camera I'm on right now. And it's interesting. I've been kind of debating, is it worth the upgrade? Do I switch? Well, you you obviously did. Did you see any different comparisons between the two?
Yeah. Oh, I got to take this, move this down off my screen so I'm not glared. Yeah, Dave, I feel like the part picture did get a bit better. You know, and of course we record so many shows that I feel like I've got a pretty good eye for what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be on my camera and looking at it through the image you're seeing, but when it comes to the recordings, I feel like they are marginally better. And so it's a relatively cheap upgrade, you know, compared to some of the other things. So
I'm using the Plexicam. I'm still using the Plexicam. So,
Yeah. And this would work on that just fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's still have the quarter 20 screw hole down at the bottom if you want to put it on a tripod. So I can't recommend the Insta stuff enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at it as well. Like I was basically, when it came out, I was in the market. So didn't buy it, but I'll tell you what I bought some other time.
Okay, well, click the link, and you know, you'll have bought it, and you won't be unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this is all great stuff, and this is the moment where I can just totally take a slowbrow, and yet I'm not. So I don't know what's wrong with me.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
Okay. You're disappointing us here.
Oh, good all one. Right. Yes.
So, my pick is a social media posting service called Fetica.
I got to give into this.
And
Battlestar Fetica?
Yes, Battlestar Fetica. And here's the deal with the growing number of people on Threads and on Blue Sky and the types of conversations that I'm starting to see there, they've hit a point where I feel I need to start paying attention to them again, because when they launched, I'd play with them and then it was like whatever. So I don't like to have to duplicate effort, which means if I'm going to post something on Mastodon, I do not want to take the time to have to post on the other social media platforms. So why not use something that lets me do that? And products like Buffer and Hootsuite, they're way overkill for what I need. And I don't want to have to get into a paid tier for the casual use that I have. There's a bunch of apps you can get. Like Croissant is a really good app that's brand new.
Yep.
But to be able to use it the way I would want to, I would need to go into a paid tier, but it still wouldn't do everything that I want. Fetica, however, is doing everything. And the one thing it's not doing is not because it's not capable of it. It's because I don't want to turn my Facebook account into a business page. So I can't currently get a direct Instagram integration out of here. But every other social media platform that I want to engage with, I can do it all from within Fetica. And you get 9 social media accounts with their free service.
Wow. One each, so not 9 in total. It's one each, so like one Instagram, one Mastodon, and so
on. Yeah.
Right. Mm. So I've set it up right now. When I started testing, I have it doing Mastodon and Threads and Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. And I should probably just throw LinkedIn in there as well. So I'm posting content more regularly to LinkedIn. And it'll do Instagram, but because of a limitation of how that works, which is on Meta's side, I'm not doing that. But there's a bunch of other services or social media platforms in there as well. And it gives me more than enough for free to do what I need. So I think I found my ultimate cross-posting tool for my social media platforms. And it's fetica.com.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I haven't seen this before. And there's one thing that I find annoying about all the services I've tried. And maybe it'll be here too. Mm-hmm. But I like to tag, like when I publish the shows, I like to tag you, like Dave, Therese, Ben, you know, anybody that's on the show, so that you tag them. And of course, everybody has a different identity in all the different social medias, a lot of us have tried to keep them consistent, but sometimes there's that one that you can't get. So the question I have is, can I tag you guys on your LinkedIn? We'll tag you in LinkedIn. We'll tag you X when you post to X, or Threads when you post to Threads. Do you know?
I don't know, because I haven't tried that, but it will it has like its own contacts list, but I believe you can also link it to your contacts, and then that way you don't have to re-enter anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, since you can have multiple services in a contact, I don't know. That would be kind of cool if it did. If it does, I would bet that's one of the paid features.
Yeah, I mean, would, for me, that would be worth paying for if it would do that. So, okay, cool.
Check it out.
Yeah.
And what's to say you can't, like you said, you have to have, you know, if you have the business, like in my case and Chuck's cases too, he's got social medias for his podcast as well as his personal, and so do I. So what's to say you can't create separate accounts just for each, personally and business?
Sure. Yeah, just have separate logins so you can have one in each account. Yeah. Okay, here's another thing you get with the free version. You do have the whole calendar thing, so you can schedule posts.
That's amazing for being free. Jeez.
Yeah, but you don't get stuff like the detail about an audit for you.
Analytics.
And analytics. So the audit, what it does is it tells you how many of the accounts that are following you across the various services that you're using, how many of those are good, how many of them are low quality, how many of them are fake accounts, and it gives you ways to when you're paying, you get ways to do all the filtering for demographics and stuff for all of your followers and yeah. So anyhow, it has a bunch of features that you get when you start paying, but 9 accounts, and you can post as much as you want.
In one place. I'm doing it every week. I'm free. Scrambling to post to each one individually.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a game changer for me.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And if I look like I am completely out of it right now,
it's because you're setting up your account.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an iOS app as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, which I'm trying to download right now.
Yeah.
That's even nicer.
Yeah. There's I also see browser plugins. There's an Android app.
There's a browser plugin, which I need to install still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty cool. I'll check it out.
I love the fact that it used to be, they've changed the name, is now Fetica, Tweeps Map. is what it was.
Map. Okay. Yeah, that's Fedica is a better name.
Yeah, it's like yes. I'm using Tweeps map. Yeah, that's right. Tweeps, you are. Sure, map. You are.
Well, when it started, I'm sure the name made more sense because Twitter was a thing.
Yeah, or it was Twitter only, maybe in the beginning, even. Who knows?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
YouTube and TikTok too. Jeez.
Hmm. Yeah, Pixel Fed, for example, as well. I like that.
The only thing I don't like about this is that they do not have a Safari extension.
Yeah.
But I'll start getting on them about that.
Yes. I mean, they have since they have one for everybody else, it's quite easy to port.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, available for Chrome, Firefox, and Microsoft Edge.
Mm. Yeah, so Chromium-based and Firefox.
And Chromium-based, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So, yeah, I'm assuming if they get enough feedback about Safari, they'll just port the plugin over for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I know that on one level you're all disappointed that I didn't show up with something incredibly ridiculously stupid and low brow.
I was hoping
but on
silent.
The other hand, you're welcome for this.
I like this better.
Nice this find. Is a great pick, Jeff. Yeah, really.
Mm.
Nice find.
Very nice.
Wow.
And
I have
22%
followers from Australia. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
On what? On Mastodon?
Yeah, I connected Mastodon, PixelFed, and LinkedIn, I think.
I gotta check out PixelFed. I just looked at it. I didn't know about that.
I have a server, so.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is this just a server for yourself?
For now, yes. Yeah. Because I'm the apps. In my opinion, the apps, because they're only test flight only. I think you haven't published them yet. I'm not ready to make that bigger.
What do you know? 10% of my followers are from Nigeria.
Interesting.
And every one of them is a prince.
Yeah. No, and Ben is their king, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I give them my Royal Bank account, they'll share their millions with me.
Uh-huh.
That is so generous. And so appropriate, because they should be sharing their wealth with their king.
Yes.
They should.
Yep. All right. So on that happy note, and congratulations on your new millions and millions, Ben. It's time to wrap up. This has been wonderfully fun, and I'm so glad that once again I'm starting off my Friday with all of you. It's awesome. So, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week almost every week on this very show, the Mac Show, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, except for next week because I'm traveling again. I'm on my website, yes. Everything I'm doing is on my website as well. All the links, the social media like links like Mastodon. I think I'm not even sure I put PixelFed there. Maybe I should. Like all of that, podcasts, projects, literally everything. ThePatrice.com. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast. We've published, it's about 17 episodes, I think, Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch retro TV shows. We're in the middle of season one of Stargate SG-1, episode 15, which is Core Eye, just published yesterday. Actually, no, today. I literally, a couple hours ago, hit the button. And we also did a cross-posting with the Mac Show and the Big Show from the Summer of Fun episodes with Battlestar Galactica and with Mythbusters. Yes, yeah. So a little mid-season break for basically where we talked about some other stuff. And that was also published the last 2 weeks. So go watch it and let us know if you like it.
I reject your reality and I substitute my own.
Yes. And when in doubt, C4.
That's right. Which applies to Stargate SG-1 as well.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do a segue because it's going to be totally involved C4. Yeah. Chuck, where can people find you?
I'm C1. You can find me at Mac Voices. That's where we have a lot of great conversations with a lot of interesting people. We just talked to Jeff Carlson about his new take control of Apple Watch, and he taught me a few things that I didn't know about what my Apple Watch can do. So maybe he can teach you too. And we are just getting ready to ramp up the holiday gift guides. So if you are interested in hearing what some of all the people here and some of our other friends pick for holiday gift ideas, check it out. It will be coming to you very soon. And on all the socials that I will hopefully be using Fetica to post to, I'm at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. Awesome. And Dave, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights. And I'm going to be posting everything on Fetica now. This is pretty amazing. And you can find me on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud.
Awesome. And Ben, how about you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice. My writings and ravings at rathig.tech. You can find me on such podcasts, depending on schedule, as Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner, In Touch with iOS of Dave Ginsberg, and of course, the Big and Mac shows here on the British Tech Network. Hello, old chaps.
Oh, that was fantastic. All right. And I believe that means it's me now. Jay Gamut on the various social medias, and I'm active mostly on Mastodon and Instagram, but now thanks to Fetica, that will expand out to even more. Then for shows, Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave lets me join in Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Ewan still hasn't kicked me off from here. So the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, and Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And I think that's everything. So thank you again to all of you for just making me smile and laugh today. That was so needed. And I'm glad that we got to spend my morning together. And all of you that are watching or listening live, if you're participating in the live chat, all of you, thank you for being here as well. I'm so glad you joined us. And everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. I'm so glad that you are here with us, even though it's time shifted. And hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tio Sojos, thank you for being here and supporting us. And everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.